Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimry. The local firefighters union and the city and borough of Juneau reached an agreement on a labor contract last week. That's after more than a year of negotiations and nearly a year without an agreement. The Juneau chapter of the International Association of Firefighters, or IAFF, ratified the new contract that takes effect now and lasts 2 years. The contract comes as the department has been struggling with staffing for the past few years. Union President Logan Ballstead said, the new contract will make Capital City Fire Rescue more competitive to recruit and retain staff.
I think this offer will help keep us like in that middle range rather than dropping back to the bottom where we were.
Ballstead said wages will increase more than 13% on average across members of the union. The contract also includes yearly adjustments to compensate for inflation. Another win in the contract, Ballstead said, is the renovation of the CARE Sobering Center CCFR runs out of St. Vincent de Paul. He says the center had issues with rodents and insects.
It's a really big win for those members there because the conditions were awful and now they're going to be in a new space that hopefully is not going to be infested.
The Juneau chapter of the IAFF has about 57 members, which is most of the department. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says union members will get lump sum payments of up to $6,000 to partially compensate for working without a contract for almost a year.
There's a retroactive lump sum component and they're representative of some of the wages, of the wage increase that IFF members would have received had both we, CBJ, and IFF been able to successfully come to negotiation on a timely basis. But because we weren't, we included that as well.
The department has been short 9 positions, but it gained some new firefighters last weekend. The first year of a new apprenticeship program yielded several fully trained staff members. Department leadership is in the process of interviewing candidates for its second year of the program. Governor Mike Dunleavy has until tomorrow to veto or sign 24 bills into law. The 24 bills run the gamut. They include a wide-ranging education bill, taxes on nicotine, vapes, and pouches, a bill allowing the State Development Agency to pursue workforce housing, and a ban on certain artificial dyes in school meals, among other things. Tomorrow's deadline for Dunleavy comes the day before a special session is set to end. And it comes as senators wrestle with whether to approve a tax break Dunleavy is seeking for the Alaska LNG project. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski, who sponsored the food dye ban, says it's in the governor's interest to approve them.
People tend to get attached to their bills, and there's some important bills in there. And I think it's got the potential to create some ill will and create some more friction that we probably don't need at this point.
Dunleavy's office won't say whether the governor plans to sign the bills. A spokesperson said by email only that they'll be delivered back to lawmakers sometime tomorrow. But several are markedly similar to proposals Dunleavy has rejected in recent years. One would expand the state's corporate income tax to capture more revenue from out-of-state companies. Dunleavy vetoed a similar bill last year. He also vetoed a tobacco tax bill in 2022. If Dunleavy does not sign or veto the bills by the end of the day tomorrow, they'll pass into law automatically. Any bill he vetoes could be the subject of an override vote on Friday. And Denali National Park's tiniest and fluffiest rangers will begin showing off their training to visitors this month. Until now, most people could only watch the park's litter of future sled dogs through its popular Puppy Cam livestream. As Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk, the livestream has captured hearts across the world and even inspired some viewers to make the trip to the park in person.
It's snack time at the Denali National Park sled dog puppy enclosure, and a white pup with gray splotches on his head prances up to me and tries to chomp on my mic.
Okay.
Oh, they will chew on you.
That's all right. That's the tax.
This fluffy little meatball is only a few months old, yet significantly bigger than his litter mates.
Yeah, you're the cutest.
Rangers named him Mammoth. Not just for his size or formidable appetite, but because he and his litter mates were born in the year marking America's 250th birthday. The other three pups are Acadia, Sequoia, and Rainier. David Tomio is the park's kennel manager.
We did end up reaching out to every park and just giving them a heads up that we wanted to have a puppy named after them.
He says staff at those parks were delighted and even sent over junior ranger badges for the pups. Tomio says they've also received a stack of fan mail and care packages from people all over the world.
And so we're kind of overflowing at Dog Toys.
The park has been running sled dogs and raising puppies for over a century and started live streaming it about a decade ago. And rangers say it's become a huge draw for park tourists. Valerie Cox and her family came all the way out from Memphis, Tennessee, specifically for the pups.
I work from home, and so I keep it up on my second monitor at work, and so I'll watch it through the day. And I have set some alarms just so that I could catch them during their feed times, too. But not all the time, but when I could. They just captured our little hearts.
But behind the puppy cam's cuteness is a working sled dog program with an important role in the park. Tomio says it supports wilderness preservation by providing a traditional, low-impact way to work in remote areas. And he says the dogs are more than a means of travel. They're a living link to a part of Alaska's cultural heritage that's in decline.
Dog sledding used to be the norm. It used to be every village had multiple dog teams. And with, you know, the advent of snow machines, there's less dog teams, and dog teams are expensive. And even just the ability to feed dogs has gotten very difficult for a lot of people.
That's why, he says, those furry little internet sensations help rangers preserve the tradition by teaching its significance to both online and in-person visitors. He says people all over the world watch the puppy cam 24/7, not just having it on in the background, but paying close attention to what's happening in the kennel. He says it's like having thousands of dog sitters all at once.
We will sometimes get people emailing the park about the water dish is empty, and they're not realizing that we have multiple water dishes in there. Or so-and-so just vomited, which is kind of normal.
And of course, his favorite.
We think that Mammoth is eating more than his share of food, things like that.
But on at least one occasion, netizens' concerns were real, like last summer with the previous litter.
They said, there's a loose dog outside the puppy pen that's right there in the fence. And it was late at night, and I got the call at home, get a staff person over here quick. And one of our other adult dogs that got loose was there just wanting to be by the pups.
This month, the 2026 litter will join the big dogs in interpretive events for visitors, like running around the kennel in step with their caretakers. Tomio says exposing the puppies to the adoring public will help prepare them for life on a dog team.
Just being around all that noise and distraction is actually good training for the pups, that we want them to stay focused. And if all their siblings are running in one direction, we want them to run in that direction too.
As a tour bus loaded with visitors pulls away from the kennel, rangers give me a sneak peek at the demonstration they've been rehearsing. After taking a moment to hype up the tiny sled dogs, they throw open the gate to their enclosure, sprinting together in a blur of fur and khaki. From the Denali National Park Sled Dog Kennels, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And residents of Onoktivik Pass can now use four-wheelers to subsistence hunt in the gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. The change was announced by the U.S. Interior Secretary during a visit last month. As the Alaska Desk's Alone United reports, residents of the North Slope Village have been fighting for this decision for decades.
Mark John Morey has been hunting caribou around Onoktivik Pass since he was a child. But in the summer and fall, most of the land around the village has been off-limits to hunters like him. That's because residents were not allowed to use four-wheelers in the majority of the gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. And that's the only way to access the roadless preserve surrounding the village. But last month, the U.S. Department of the Interior announced it would restore off-road vehicle access to the park. Morey says he's excited.
This is life-changing. I only wish my grandparents were here. Now that we're able to access the lands, we can relearn what our ancestors taught us about certain areas that always have caribou year-round.
The Trump administration has been working to expand access to hunters on off-road vehicles in protected federal lands across the country. However, a National Park Service spokesman for the Alaska region said this action is specific to subsistence hunting in the gates and does not apply to sports hunters. And it comes after decades of back and forth on the issue. Before Onoktivik Pass became a permanent settlement about 80 years ago, the Nunavut people were semi-nomadic and moved throughout the Brooks Range. Morey says they were searching for their main food source, caribou.
We heard many stories from our elders about hunting grounds that we weren't able to access, which they remember before we even formed the community of Onoktivik Pass.
The federal government established the gates of the Arctic around Onoktivik Pass when it passed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. And residents were still given the right to subsistence hunt using snow machines and motorboats, among other traditional transportation methods. But the rule didn't mention ATVs. And 40 years ago, the new park guidance interpreted the law to ban hunts on ATVs because they were not used traditionally. Lillian Stone is the city mayor of Inaktuvik Pass. She says the ban created invisible boundaries for residents relying on hunting for survival.
It was like we were prisoners in our own land for 40 years, where before that it was we could hunt anywhere, we could travel anywhere.
Local native corporations exchanged lands with the Park Service in the late 90s, which made additional areas within the park available for subsistence ATV hunts. Still, residents could only access about 1% of the gates of the Arctic. Stone says residents and local leaders have been advocating for ATV access to the park for subsistence for decades, but with no progress.
We felt like it wasn't getting anywhere and we weren't getting the answers that were needed.
Last year, local leadership traveled to Washington, D.C. and asked the Interior Department to restore ATV access to the park. This May, the department announced the decision to do that. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum wrote in a social media post that, quote, "No one knows or cares for this land more than the people who live here," end quote. A department spokeswoman said in an email the old ban was inconsistent with supporting subsistence. She said the Park Service will consult local communities within 6 months to establish the new rule. Kristen Mori is an Inaktuvik Pass hunter and a mother of two. She says the announcement means a lot for her and her children.
I have no words of what of what just happened because it just makes me really emotional, and I'm excited to be out there and to no longer have to worry about when we have to stop, because I'm out there year-round as well.
The Park Service said local hunters should contact the gates of the Arctic for current information on using ATVs while the regulatory process is underway. In Anchorage, I am Alena Knighton.
And as for the weather in Juneau, it's currently 55 degrees, and we still have about a 30% chance of rain tonight. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.